Your ass better call somebody.
Hey, hey, what do you say? It's time. It's time. Ball Junk episode 60. It's the Gas Man. It's Frankie Knuckles. And I'm feeling the madness. It is March and we're about to go crazy. You're seeing brackets on television. You're seeing brackets online. We have a bracket for balls and other sporting type equipment. We're going to talk about some movies. We're going to talk about some coaches. We've got a hell of a show. Frank, how's it going?
That might be the best intro yet, ever.
Oh, wow.
Great. In 60 episodes. That was absolutely stupendous, and it's warranted. We have a breakdown of the greatest sports movie coaches. We will declare who is the greatest sports coach in film history.
We do have a couple of TV coaches in here as well. You didn't approve that? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, I thought it was only film.
No, we I did have to include a couple of television coaches. But if we're going to do a bracket, Frank, you know, we had a special guest when we did this bracket thing on TV Junk, when we did the madness on TV Junk. So we decided to bring back that special guest. Sean is back on Ball Junk. Sean, how's it going?
It's going very good. I'm super excited about this. I mean, I know I only had to be here because you needed somebody to be the tiebreaker. That's fine. I'm totally down for it.
Well, I was thinking Sean needs a nickname, like Frankie Knuckles, the Gas Man. He's Sean the tiebreaker Dwyer. He's tiebreaker. That's why he exists, yeah. To break ties.
The Dwybreaker.
The Dwybreaker, duh.
Even better.
Dwybreaker in the house.
So do this justice, I did some extensive research on sports, movie, television show coaches. I came up with a list of 50 and I sent it to Frank, and there were three television coaches in there, and I don't know if you didn't notice them.
Yeah, I might have just been a slip. I should have known Eric Taylor, of course, is a TV coach, so it changes everything because I think he's going to win. But is it even fair? I don't know.
We don't just talk about movies on Ball Junk. We talk about sports. And there's sports on television and there's sports in film. And so I felt that we had to, because we couldn't really do one with just three coaches from television.
That's true.
That wouldn't have been very good.
To find a couple more, but I don't disagree. I get it. It's okay. I guess I'll have to live with this, but the list was so good. And there's been some major cuts.
I had to get it to a good bracket number. So it was either go from 50 down to 32 or try to find 14 more. And that would have been really scraping the bottom of the barrel to get it to 64. So I figure I'm going to go backwards, take it down to 32. We lost some of our favorite coaches. But the ones that are in the bracket, I think, are the ones that will stand the test of time. And if I'm wrong, well, you can blame me.
And I will commend you. The list of 32 is pretty solid. I'm sure people will say we missed major coaches here, but I think it's a very good representation of the iconic coaches from film and television.
Like, if your favorite movie is Wildcats, starring Goldie Hawn, and Coach Molly is not on this list, I'm sorry. She was on the list of 50, though.
Was Helen Hunt's character from that volleyball movie we watched on the list?
Absolutely not.
Now, I'm curious, Greg, the rankings.
Yeah.
Was that just a gut thing, or like, how are you determining this?
Just based on my whimsy.
Okay.
So we have, we've got four corners of this bracket. And one, we've got what I like to call baseball-ish. So baseball coaches plus one non-baseball coach. Then I have one that I like to call Balls and Blades, which is basketball and hockey. And then there's football, because there's so many great football coaches. They got its own corner. And then wild card. I love a good wild card group.
The one missed opportunity here is like basketball. Was it Reamer and I got to look up the other one. Cooper. I don't know Cooper. They were like coaching their own team. Big. That one's kind of hurting that it's not there either. But what are you going to do? I got to move on. No Roy right. Munson from Kingpin. Doesn't a bowler need a man? Why would a bowler need a man?
I did try to make a distinction for the most part between coach and mentor.
Okay.
And I had to keep one mentor in.
Yeah, I know which one. Mr. Miyagi.
A very iconic mentor. He kind of had to stay in into the bracket. So we'll just do the same thing that we did before. We'll just go. Do we want to do a whole corner and get it down to one and then move on to the next one?
Yep.
So okay, but before we do it too, like, should we talk, do you guys have personal criteria for this? Like, I, you know, one of the things I struggle with looking at the list, I mean, there's some comedies and some dramas.
Yeah.
So for the comedies, I feel like they're at a disadvantage, but I mean, how do you level that playing field?
I would say that you can develop your own rubric and how you want to
you love the word rubric.
Oh, I love the word rubric. And also, if you were listening to the latest Film Junk podcast where we talked about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, I talked about words that I use to you guys, and which makes sense, and words that when I use rubric outside of this group, people have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. But yeah, create your own rubric. You can, you know, because comedic coaches can also like still be very creative in the plays that they create in order for their teams to become victorious, whether it's comedy or drama.
Look at Coach Klein in The Waterboy, who's in the football bracket. You fake the fake. That's iconic play creation right there.
And you picture your opponent as a little baby.
That's true. Like,
that is amazing coaching.
Well, I think guys, these are a lot of details I'm not going to remember with these coaches, but
I feel like the name carries a lot of weight. I know I said this on Film Junk, but do I remember the name of this character? Do I even remember what they look like? That's the first barrier if they're going to win or lose. Second, do I remember their name? Third, do I have a speech or a quote or a moment? And how significant is that moment to sport and to film? Is my basic rubric.
Yeah, yes. And they aren't coaching prowess. You know, that that falls somewhere in there as well. And you have to consider all these things, because if we don't consider everything, people will look at us like fools. We don't want that. We don't want to be fools. All right, so let's start in the baseball-ish category. The top seed, and I know, Frank, you're super pleased about this. I know you are.
I don't know if he actually deserves a top seed.
Oh, 100% deserves the top seed. For Major League, Coach Lou Brown, incredible mustache. That's what I remember most
about Lou Brown. And works at Tire World. Yes. So he's a multifaceted personality.
He's the manager of a Major League Baseball team and also has a part-time job.
And comes up with the coaching strategy of motivating players through revealing pieces of clothing at per win of their owner, Rachel, and along with just pissing on contracts. He does it all. Lou Brown also had a stint with the Toledo Mudhens. I love Lou Brown. And I think Colin's review of that is my most liked review on Letterboxd, which is something along the lines still is good on the 251st rewatch. I prefer Colin's review of of Major League, which is but two words, Tire World. And that is my favorite Major League review.
Well, Lou Brown, the number one seed, is in some stiff competition with the number eight seed in Billy Haywood from Little Big League. Now, if you remember this movie, it is a 12 or 13 year old kid who inherits a baseball team from his deceased grandfather, I believe. And he becomes manager of this team. And I will say, this is where you saw the trick play that involved not only the players on the field, but also the security guards and the people who were catching the foul balls. And I don't know if you remember in the movie, they pretend to pick off a player at first, and the security guard, like who's over far away from the first baseline, picks up his chair, pretends to be looking for the ball. So the player starts running the bases, but that ball never left the pitcher's hand, and they get him out. Genius play. Billy Haywood.
I have never seen Little Big League, so.
What?
I didn't even know the concept was a kid was a coach, so it's kind of perfectly fitting for this list, and poor Billy Haywood doesn't stand a chance.
In your opinion.
Correct. Well, I mean, we do have to bring up the fact that is he the coach or is he the manager? And if he's the manager, should he even be in this competition?
Well, the manager of a baseball team is essentially the coach, like the head coach.
Aren't there two different positions there, though?
Well, there's a pitching coach and there's a batting coach, but there's a manager is the person in charge of the ball team.
Okay.
Sean revealing his lack of sports knowledge. This is about TV and film.
Totally fine. I'm sure there are people listening to this that have never even watched a game of baseball in their life.
I haven't watched one in about 5 years, unless it was in person.
All right. So, Frank, I'm assuming, or Sean, do you have any other thoughts or questions?
Just that I think I have seen this movie when I was a kid, but I really don't remember too much about it. I'll tell you my prep work for this episode, which was go to YouTube, look up a clip of this coach and watch it. And it could be completely random. Maybe it's something I remember. Maybe it's not. That's pretty much what I'm judging this on.
Did Lou Brown have a highlight reel?
32 times? 32 times you did this, or did you know some?
Some of them I just knew, but for anything I kind of was a little hazy on. So this one, when I looked up, the clip that I watched was he needs help with a math. He's trying to do his homework because, you know, he's a kid too. So he needs help with a math problem, which, you know, I don't know if that really figures into being a coach or not, but
well, I don't know. I think it it takes away Lou Brown's advantage of having a part-time job as well, because this kid's going to school and that's true.
And, you know, ultimately he got everyone involved. You know, great coach,
he did.
Brings in the people he needs to get the job done.
Frank, who are you voting for?
Not even going into his MVP performance. The only funny things in Major League 2 are Lou Brown in the hospital. But I'm going to say Lou Brown.
All right. Sean?
I am a big Major League fan, believe it or not. Watched it a bunch as a kid. It's got to be Lou Brown.
All right. I will also vote for Lou Brown, even though I don't need to. But Lou Brown moves on. Number one seed. All right. The fourth seed from Moneyball, Coach Art Howe, an actual real live coach who was portrayed in this movie by Philip Seymour Hoffman in a pretty spectacular performance. Against the fifth seed from Bull Durham, it's Coach Joe Riggins, portrayed by Trey Wilson. Now, I've seen Bull Durham a bunch of times. And when I Googled the picture of the coach, I did not remember him at all.
See, it took me a second. I'm like, oh, I remember him now. I was able to, let's make sure if I'm even getting that image correct, because I didn't look him up. And I mean, Kevin Costner's the de facto coach in that film.
Yeah.
But I am accurately remembering the coach of the movie. And he's just, he's a good coach. He has a couple of moments, but he's not an icon.
Now, I would agree with that. Yes.
The clip I looked up for him seems to be a popular one where he is calling the team a bunch of lollygaggers.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
Pretty iconic line, I think.
It is a good word, also.
But I just want to bring up with Moneyball. Now, you told me that the manager is the coach. Moneyball is about, the main character is Billy Beane, who is the general manager of the Oakland A's.
Yes.
But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about Philip Seymour Hoffman, who is the coach. Now. So what is the deal?
We're not going down that road, Sean. It makes perfect sense.
In hockey and football and basketball, it's the head coach. But in baseball, the same position of head coach, it's actually called manager. And the person that trades for the players is the general manager.
They're not on the field for the games. We're talking who's there during the events, the matches, guiding the athletes or competitors.
Now, Art Howe in this movie mostly just kind of sits on the bench with his arms crossed, or he's in the boardroom getting pissed off at all the players being traded away. But I put Art Howe in here. Had a lot to do with Philip Seymour Hoffman's performance as the coach. Like the look,
the disdain on his face constantly.
Yes. It made me feel the pain of the coach, and as all of his best players are being traded away.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the thing. Like, I would argue that, you know, because the movie is so much about Billy Beane and his whole strategy for putting together a winning team, that this coach, Art Howe, really doesn't do that much. He looks cool. He looks the part. And I love Philip Seymour Hoffman in that role. But is he a great coach? I don't know. Thing is, I really don't know. I've never seen Bull Durham. So
Durham?
No. Hmm. Would have been next on my list to watch today if I had time. But because I do have the Criterion Blu-ray. But I got to go with Art Howe.
I'm also going to vote for Art Howe.
I would also vote for Art Howe, but it's very close. The fact that I didn't remember the lollygagging and Sean had to tell me about it is kind of the definitive angle there. More embarrassment for me, but yeah, I'm going Art Howe.
Okay, now, before we move on to the third and sixth seed, we need some clarification on the third seed of Bad News Bears coach Morris Buttermaker. Is this Walter Matthau we're talking, or is this Billy Bob Thornton?
Well, I mean, it's your bracket. I was assuming you were talking Walter Matthau, but I kind of like both of them.
I mean, if we went to Billy Bob Thornton, he would be one of many actors with multiple appearances in these brackets.
That was a theme I was putting this together. And then when we get into the wild card round, there is my favorite first round matchup, which we will when we'll get to that one in a little bit. But let's go with Walter Matthau from the original Bad News Bears, a movie that with the content that was in the original, could not be made today.
No. And
could not have been made 5 years ago.
That was the clip I watched.
Yes.
I don't know how the children doing keto in the new Bad News Bears would go over. That also might not be. Or I believe at the time it was the Atkins diet, with the kid eating hot dogs.
Yeah, right.
I love that kid. Just gorfing on dogs.
And going up against the number six seed from Rookie of the Year, pitching coach Phil Brickma, played by Daniel Stern. He was the more prevalent coach in this movie, as the story of Rookie of the Year was about a pitcher, a young boy pitcher with a robotic arm that he had.
Give him the cheese, the hot, stinky chitter.
From an injury. But yeah, so that's why I put Daniel Stern in this from that movie.
I don't like that movie. I don't care, but I'm looking up Daniel Stern now. Interesting sideburns. Interesting look.
Oh, very interesting look.
I like it. He's
got some bug eyes.
Yeah.
Again, you know, being able to coach, you know, like another 13-year-old boy who is pitching for the Chicago Cubs. It takes some patience, and it takes a lot to be able to keep this kid from not blowing it and being able to perform at a high level against real adult major league players. I believe Ken Griffey Jr. is in this game. Or is in this movie. But then you got Walter Matthau, who is coaching a whole group of children who are playing against other children, and these children are not nice. And they're mean to each other and slightly racist and sexist.
Yeah, I question the slightly. But, I mean, this isn't even close. Rookie of the Year does not play Morris Buttermaker by a mile.
Yeah, I would also have to vote for Morris Buttermaker as well.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I mean, we should mention Daniel Stern actually directed Rookie of the Year.
He did? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he gave himself this comedic role, which I did see the movie, didn't really remember him in it. But yeah, Bad News Bears is a classic. I love Walter Matthau, how he's just so kind of chill with these kids even as they get, you know, crazy. And yep, it's got to be him.
All right, and then the number two seed versus the number seven seed. The number two, we have Tom Hanks as Jimmy Dugan in A League of Their Own, going up against our one non-baseball coach in this bracket is Patches O'Houlihan from Dodgeball, played by Rip Torn. And Frank, thoughts on this match?
I kind of thought Patches got done a little dirty here. Dodge, duck, dive, dodge. Those he's got a few moments. I don't associate that with Billy Haywood, although he's higher than Billy Haywood, Rookie of the Year coach. Where is this guy? Phil Brickma.
Yeah.
Now, Tom Hanks, on the other hand, two deeply iconic moments, no crying in baseball and a urinating scene.
Yep.
I have to say, though, I would not have known that coach's name. So definitely some points taken off there.
Okay.
But I think it's obvious who wins this one.
And, okay. Sean, thoughts?
Haven't seen Dodgeball, believe it or not. Weird movie to have never seen. I don't know why.
I think you're going to make Frank you on this very list? Angry.
How is this guy the Dwybreaker? This guy's got to do some research. Hey man,
you guys should have done some research on me before you brought me in. But
I think it works. Like the watching the clip might be a good...
sure. Well,
the people speaking through YouTube clips is a good tiebreaker.
Yeah,
and I mean, again, we did do a podcast a couple weeks ago where you guys hadn't even heard half of the songs that we were talking about. So I think this totally just plays right into how we do things around here.
Yes, and so the clip I watched for Dodgeball was, I think, kind of just the introduction of Patches O'Houlihan, and he kind of comes in and is immediately trying to train the team by throwing wrenches at them and stuff. And I just thought it felt like a perfect parody of sports movies and how coaches are in sports movies. So I was actually pretty impressed. I was like, okay, number one, I got to watch this movie. Number two, this guy might have a shot, but I do really like A League of Their Own, and Tom Hanks, you know, he plays the part of a coach. He looks the part of a coach. He's also got some heart to him too. And I got to give it to Tom Hanks.
I will also vote for Tom Hanks. And Frank, you never actually did say who your
vote
was.
I know. I didn't want to spoil anything. People might have other things to say or try to sway my vote.
Sure.
But interesting that when you said who won this, neither of you said Jimmy Dugan. You both said Tom Hanks. Just remember that when we get to the end of this bracket. Okay. No one said Jimmy Dugan. No one even knows. You said Tom Hanks. But it's clearly Jimmy Dugan from A League of Their Own.
Okay. So far, the seating seems to have been appropriate.
Yeah, testament to your seating, Greg.
Thank you. This may be the only time it works out well. All right. Number one versus number four seed, Coach Lou Brown versus Coach Art Howe. And I don't know. I think this is a pretty easy one for me. I think Lou Brown moves forward.
As a person I mentioned before, Colin, friend of Film Junk, he would be absolutely torn here. He loves Moneyball, and he loves Lou Brown. But Lou Brown.
Yeah, I agree.
Number two seed, Jimmy Dugan versus number three seed, Morris Buttermaker. What are your thoughts, Sean?
Yeah, this is a tough one.
It is a tough one.
I mean, I don't want to make the movies be the deciding factor here, but I just, Bad News Bears is not really in my list of classic sports films. Like, I've seen it, and I understand why for some people it's great, but it's not in my personal canon, I guess. So I think I'm going with Jimmy Dugan.
Both iconic roles.
Yeah, it's very close for me as well. To me, the name thing does speak a little bit, but when ever a coach is drinking beer in their car or at the games, that's an easy win. So Morris Buttermaker for me. Although, does Tom Hanks drink at the games? Maybe he does.
He might.
Been a while. I need to rewatch League of Their Own. I've been meaning to for a while. But I'm going to go with Morris Buttermaker.
I'm pretty sure that Jimmy Dugan drinks. You just said Tom Hanks.
Exactly. That's why he must lose.
I am going to vote for Jimmy Dugan.
Understandable.
Morris Buttermaker is out. And then we have number one seed versus number two seed, the way it's supposed to be in the final of the top corner. And Sean?
Again, it's a tough choice.
Well, we know who I'm picking. I'm picking Lou Brown. So you guys duke it out here.
I mean, I want to go off book a little bit here, but I do really like Lou Brown. I mean, he's a lot of fun. He's like kind of the highlight of the movie. So I go
top seed Lou Brown from Major League makes it into the final four. All right. So let's go into the bottom of the left side bracket. This is Balls and Blades. And Frank has just put his sunglasses on.
My Rick Vaughn Wild Thing glasses.
Ah, yes.
And my Rick Vaughn bobblehead.
There you go. You are all in on Major League. Okay. Yeah. Balls and Blades. Top seed. Jackie Moon from Semi Pro, taking on the 8 seed Herb Brooks from Miracle. We've got Will Ferrell, Kurt Russell, battling it out. Basketball versus hockey, different, we got a different style of coaching. We got different, genre of film,
different temperaments.
Yes. You know, Jackie Moon, you know, hilarious. And, you know, fun-loving coach, Herb Brooks, mean bastard, screaming at his players to beat the Russians in the 1980 Olympics. Sean, what are you thinking? Have you seen both of these movies?
I have. And
all right.
This is actually the first one where the seating is a little surprising to me. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of semi-pro. But on top of that, I mean, Jackie Moon, he's a player too. And I tried to look up some clips, and the only clips I could find were really him as a player. I couldn't find a lot of great examples of him coaching. Now, if you guys can refresh my memory, maybe there's something there.
I think he's player, coach, owner, and promotion and marketing. He's also a multifaceted individual. So he does it all for the Tropics. Even the coach behind the coach is Mannix. I don't know if I'm remembering if it's Ray Mannix. That's
Ray Mannix does sound familiar, but that just might be a cool sounding name.
Woody Harrelson's character. I am one of the few people that loves semi-pro, and I think it's an underrated sports movie. Monix.
I even will got say it that my
he
knowledge...
doesn't even have a first name, and it's Monix. It's not Monix.
So I will say that my knowledge of you loving semi-pro might have, in a way, influenced my decision to put Jackie Moon as the top seed.
Yes, I have zero reverence for the Miracle on Ice. I love semi-pro. I'm clearly going with Jackie Moon.
I despise the movie Miracle, which is why I wanted to put him up against someone that Herb Brooks would lose to. So I'm also voting for Jackie Moon.
Well, I guess it doesn't matter, but I would have voted for Miracle because there's some great inspirational speeches in that movie, and Kurt Russell is just a solid coach. So
I knew there was going to be Russell bias with Sean, so it's okay. I'm glad we got past that.
All right, moving the number four seed, Coach from Blades of Glory, played by Craig T. Nelson, and the number five seed from the Mighty Ducks franchise, Mr. Gordon Bombay, Emilio Estevez. I would say probably the most popular fictional hockey coach.
He's up there. Now a TV and film coach.
Yes. Yep. Yes. So again, a reluctant person being forced to coach in the Mighty Ducks film.
It's a formula for success.
That's true. Against kind of a zany individual from Blades of Glory, great hair or wig on Craig T. Nelson on Coach. I did find it interesting that when I looked up, like he was referred to only as Coach, and only one website actually had the character's name. And so I'm assuming they didn't actually use the character's name in the movie. I don't quite remember it, but
I think that was the joke. He's just
Coach. Yes, yeah. He was just Coach. Sean, have you seen Blades of Glory and the Mighty Ducks?
Yes, and I think the first time I saw Mighty Ducks was for Ball Junk, if I'm not mistaken. But I gotta say, I'm a little surprised Blades of Glory is in here. Like, I know you love Coach the TV show and Craig T. Nelson. I don't know if there's a little bias there.
This is part of his theme he alluded to earlier in the show.
But I watched a clip of Blades of Glory to refresh my memory. It was the one talking about how he invented the Iron Lotus.
Yes.
Which, you know, was pretty good.
Inventing, a legendary move or play. Pretty mm-hmm. big for a coach.
It's true. But I, in general, don't remember being a big fan of Blades of Glory. And, not that I love Mighty Ducks either, but I'm going to give it to Gordon Bombay.
I will say that the flying V formation from the Mighty Ducks, I would say, trumps everything. And that, speaking of Blades of Glory, do you think that the people who cast the movie would prefer to go back and not cast Napoleon Dynamite in this movie? Because he turned out to be like, did they ever do anything else after this?
I mean, a movie that they don't really have an official coach, but The Benchwarmers, another sports movie.
Right. Yeah.
Benchwarmers, right.
Yeah, he had a brief moment. So he did bench a few warmers. Movies, but I feel kind of bad for the guy. They got to do that sequel.
I think this is our first upset, but I was also going to vote for Gordon Bombay. Frank?
Yeah, I have zero affinity for Blades of Glory. I remember not minding it. I just never revisited it. Didn't even remember the coach gag. So that's a swing and a miss if we're going to make a sports analogy. And I'm going Bombay all the way.
All right. Going into the third versus sixth seed, we have another player coach. We've got Reggie Dunlop from Slapshot, the number three seed, taking on Pete Bell from Blue Chips. In the number six seed, Nick Nolte, Paul Newman, classic acting matchup right here. I will say I loved Blue Chips when it came out, and I thought Nick Nolte was incredible in this movie. But Reggie Dunlop, a classic character, brings in the Hanson brothers, like, which was a genius coaching move to put them on the ice to beat the crap out of the other teams. And, you know, Pete Bell, who can kick a basketball and throw a chair really far. Frank?
I like and remember Nick Nolte in Blue Chips. I certainly would have not remembered his name. But to me, this is a huge victory for Reggie Dunlop.
Sean?
I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to say I really like Nick Nolte in Blue Chips. Slapshot, I never got into that movie, and that's probably sacrilege as well.
Who is this guy?
Yeah, I think after this podcast, Frank is definitely going to be thinking about you, Sean, in a way different light now. Reggie Dunlop, third seed, is moving on. All right. And then in the 2 versus 7 seed, my friend, Coach Norman Dale from Hoosiers, in the number 2 seed, taking on Coach Finstock from the movie Teen Wolf. Now I got to say, a coach that has a werewolf on your team, you got to be a good coach to settle this guy down.
He manages all sorts of types of players. Chubbs, unconventional player.
Yes.
Fits him into the rotation. He has to deal with someone deciding not to be a werewolf in the big game. That is coaching prowess.
I did look up some clips. Didn't really remember Coach Finstock, but...
Had you seen Teen Wolf before?
Yes, I had.
Okay.
It's been a few years, but... So first of all, I like his vibe. He's kind of chill. There's a bit of a joke almost, like he seems kind of lazy, but I kind of like him. He's got a good speech at one point where he says there's 3 rules to live by. Never get less than 12 hours sleep. Never play cards with a guy who has the same first name as the city. And never get involved with a woman who has a tattoo of a dagger on her body. So he's got some, you know, some methods.
He's a life coach madness. Too, you know? He's about... Yeah. Molding young minds, not just sports.
That's true. But I did just watch Hoosiers, and the best thing in the movie by far is Gene Hackman as Norman Dale. So, got to pick him.
Frank?
Well, it's really tough for me to even think of Teen Wolf and not letting the song Win in the End by Mark Safan just cloud my mind. If I just thought of Win in the End from the end game, the montage, he would win the entire bracket. That's how much I like that song. And then I think of Boof. Oh, what an angel. And the zipping up the pants in the end sequence that I thought I was so cool for noticing myself when I rewatched Teen Wolf. But it all comes down to measuring the height of the hoop and the distance to the free throw line. And Norman Dale moves on.
I would agree. Norman Dale, number 2 seed. I was almost swayed. You know, if one of you had voted for Coach Finstock, I mean, you know, when you think of the team that he was coaching, Misfits, Lycanthrope, and his 3 rules to live by. I mean, never play cards against a guy whose first name is the same as a city. That is sound advice.
See, I was thinking the opposite. You could name a city in Indiana after the coach in Hoosiers, Normandale.
That's true. You could do that. But if I sat down at a card table and someone introduced himself as Thorold Fitzpatrick, I am out of there.
Yep.
Normandale does move on, though. All right. Number 1 versus number 5 seed, Jackie Moon versus Gordon Bombay. Tough one.
Not really. Bombay.
Gordon Bombay for Sean. Frank.
Well, Jackie Moon, I love semi-pro. The coaching element just He does every other hat better than coaching. He's not the best coach. He is a motivator. I'll give him that. I think I'm going Gordon Bombay as well.
All right. Gordon Bombay moves through number five seed with a big upset.
Who would you have picked, Greg?
Gordon Bombay.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Number two seed versus number three seed, Normandale versus Reggie Dunlop. Are we going to have a hockey final?
I would pick Reggie Dunlop in this. I love Slapshot. I think he makes the movie. He might not be the best coach, but Greg pointed out some very pivotal moves and adjustments he makes. And I love Paul Newman in Slapshot. So Reggie Dunlop for me.
John?
And it's tight. It's tough.
This is a tough one
it's
for me.
It's tough because I'm not like the biggest Slapshot guy, but I do.
You just said you who did you pick over him last time?
Yeah, exactly.
Pete Bell and Blue Chips. How are you? You just said how you're not picking Normandale.
I mean, I think I am. All I'm saying is, you know, there is something about him in that role that I like. But yeah, I'm going to have to go with Hackman.
So really, like, it all comes down to what is the more important coaching move? Is it measuring the height of the basket? Or is it putting the Hanson brothers on the ice? And I think it's measuring the height of the basket. Normandale goes into the final. Number two seed taking on number five seed, Gordon Bombay.
Well, I would have picked Reggie had he moved on. But in this case, I'm going with Normandale.
Sean?
Again, another tough call. I'm going to go with Normandale. I mean, again,
possibly clouded by watching it today.
But the coach is a great coach.
All right. So it's the jump across. Would you have
made it three Normandales, Greg?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. So we're going to go to the football bracket on the opposite side. Number one seed. Eric Taylor from the Friday Night Lights television show taking on the number eight seed, Coach Jack Lengvall from We Are Marshall. Have you seen both of these movies, Sean? Or have you seen Friday Night Lights and this movie?
Have not seen either of these.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I've seen Friday Night Lights, the movie.
Right.
And I am like Coach Taylor, like out of all these, that's kind of the name that's, you know, I mean, obviously there's a few other like Mr. Miyagi and stuff, but like Coach Taylor is a name I know, even though I haven't even seen the show. So that's kind of important. And I mean, to be honest, I watched a clip of Matthew McConaughey in We Are Marshall and wasn't doing much for me. Maybe I picked a bad clip. I don't know. But I'm going with Coach Taylor.
I have not seen We Are Marshall, and I probably never will. I don't know if it's all that good. So it's not even close for me, Coach Eric Taylor. Not even
close. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. Coach Taylor moves on.
Now, I have to say, I was like, well, of course I have to pick Coach Taylor because of the line you just said.
Yeah.
And I could not remember it. So that may play a factor going forward.
Also important to note, I mean, I don't know exactly, but I watched a clip from Friday Night Lights movie, and there's a line he says that's very similar to that. So I think it actually comes from that movie.
And I have to say, I didn't watch season four. I still have not seen season four.
Oh my gosh.
I loved season one through three, but I mean, it got a little wacky with the murder subplot in season two, I think, but, I got to finish that. I got to revisit Friday Night Lights, the shoe.
Okay. We move on to the number four seed, Coach Klein from The Waterboy, taking on the fifth seed, Tony D'Amato from Any Given Sunday.
Well, this is basically Partridge Family versus Happy Days in the first round all over again. I love Coach Klein. As I mentioned, the fake. Such a funny coach. Now, it would have been really tough if this was like a combo entry of Coach Klein and Coach Beaulieu in his new offense, which my friend Tom has named his fantasy football team after Coach Beaulieu's new offense for many years now. So this is very difficult, but the inches speech, I love Al Pacino in Any Given Sunday. So I will go with Tony D'Amato.
Tough one. Sean, what are you thinking?
I mean, when you looked up clips, it must have been the game of inches.
Yeah, it was. And I mean, I've seen the movie, although I wasn't a huge fan of the movie.
this guy's such a fucking hero.
The Waterboy, I remember liking, but that was a long time ago.
Very long time ago. <You know? laughs> Although I did kind of rewatch it recently, and I was enjoying it more than I thought I would.
I watched a clip of Henry Winkler. I thought he was pretty likable and fun in this role. I didn't really get a sense of any strategic stuff he actually did, but fake. I'm gonna go with Coach Klein.
Coach Klein.
Yeah.
Greg.
Man, this is a tough one. I have seen The Waterboy, and it's good. I loved Any Given Sunday. And I loved Al Pacino in this movie. And I think the slick plays that Tony D'Amato makes, including the one to leave and become the head coach of the other team at the end of the movie.
What about benching? Genius. I just had his name in my head and now I forget.
Willie?
No, he benches Dennis Quaid first.
Oh, right.
We're going with Willie. And he's good at everything, technically, personality, playing politics. He's got it all. He's going to win this bracket. I'll tell you right now.
Will he?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about that. We'll see.
He's winning mine.
The number three seed. We go back to television here.
So who are you picking? Tony D'Amato?
I picked Tony D'Amato.
Well, I thought so. Yeah. I needed to be sure. I thought you may be doing a little fake out there, playing with me.
Going to television, Hayden Fox from the show Coach, taking on the movie version of the Friday Nights coach, Gary Gaines. Hayden Fox versus Gary Gaines. I'm assuming none of you guys watched the show Coach.
Oh, I did. I would watch any sitcom when I was a young man. Okay. And if it was a sitcom, I believe, I'm trying to think of what the lead-in was for Coach. It was
on ABC. Could have been Home Improvement.
Yeah. It always was around something that I liked. So I would just watch it by proxy and get a good laugh out of Luther and Dauber.
Hilarious assistant coaches.
Yeah, if we do assistant coaches, they might go head to head in the final. But I mean, it's Hayden. I have no reverence for Friday Night Lights, the movie. I remember liking it, but it's going to be Hayden Fox for me.
Hayden Fox for me as well. No contest, although I do like Gary Gaines. I think he's a great coach, but he does lose. Spoiler. There is a flag on the play in that last play.
I don't like the name Gary Gaines. That should be. It feels like a name you should remember, but I never will. You can ask me tomorrow what the name of this coach was, and I will forget.
Do you remember Chris Gaines?
Yes, that is Garth Brooks' alternate persona.
Genius album, Lost in You, still a banger of a song. Sean.
I mean, I would have picked Gary Gaines.
Oh, my God. You are out of your mind.
I mean, I did watch Coach. I did like it. But for one very simple reason, I watched a clip of the Friday Night Lights movie, which I have seen before, of him giving the speech before the, going back in the second half, the final game, I was almost moved to tears from this one speech out of context. It was good, man. Like, he was talking about keeping all your teammates in your heart and like the injured teammate who's on the sideline and can't play with you right now. I was like, oh my God. So I was impressed.
The second appearance of Craig T. Nelson moves on. Speaking of second appearances, our number two seed versus our number seven seed. We've got Coach Herman Boone from Remember the Titans, played by Denzel Washington, and the number seven seed, Coach Jimmy McGinty from The Replacements, played by Gene Hackman.
Back again.
Sean, have you seen The Replacements?
I haven't seen either of these movies.
All right.
Which, I don't know. Should I have seen these? Are these good movies? You guys tell me.
Remember the Titans I'd say it's decent. It's good. It's got good football stuff. There's, you know, a lot of political stuff and
racial
stuff.
It's not about the football. It's about the message.
Yeah. Replacements, though. I think Keanu Reeves. Yeah. You know, funny movie. It's not bad. It's good. Enjoyable watch.
I don't think I realized it was comedic until I watched some of the clips. But I mean, yeah, I just from the clips I watched, I would go with Remember the Titans. Like, I mean, Denzel in a coaching role, it's a good fit.
Yeah, I mean, I have zero affinity for The Replacements. Like Remember the Titans, it does feel like, even in this case, I would have allowed a joint coach because it's about them coming together. I can't even remember the other coach's name, though. I wouldn't have remembered Herman Boone either if it wasn't on this list. But I remember Denzel in Remember the Titans. I was embarrassed I thought Jimmy McGinty was Keanu Reeves. Like, he was a player coach. I forgot about Gene Hackman. So, sorry, Hackman, you're out on this one. And it's Herman Boone for me.
All right. Okay, we'll go back up. We've got the number one seed, Coach Taylor, taking on the number five seed, Tony D'Amato, Any Given Sunday. This is a tough one. This one is hard.
I'm Tony D'Amato all the way. And I'll be honest, it's not even close.
Ugh. Ugh. Sean?
I mean, this is tough for me because I haven't seen the TV show. I've seen a few clips. Obviously, I know Coach Taylor, and I do like, what's his name? What's the actor's name again?
Kyle Chandler.
Kyle Chandler, yes.
Yeah, you must love him. Again.
But, and I don't like Any Given Sunday, but I do like Pacino as the coach. I don't know, man. I think I might go Tony D'Amato.
What?
Oh, the major upset.
Who would Greg have picked?
Coach Taylor.
Really? Sean? Wow, people are going to be pissed with you. They knew I was picking Tony D'Amato.
Their eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
I mean, do we really want a TV coach moving on? Come on.
I like that. Very good.
We could have had a TV coach versus a TV coach in the final, but now that's ruined. Number three seed, Hayden Fox versus number two seed, Herman Boone. A couple of H names, Hayden and Herman. Who is moving on? Frank.
I'm going with Hayden Fox.
Sean?
His name is Coach. The show's Coach.
Yeah.
I will go with Hayden Fox.
Hayden Fox. All right. And then the final of the football bracket, Tony D'Amato versus Hayden Fox. Frank?
Tony D'Amato. As much as I respect the name Coach and that the show's named after that character, you don't ever see him coach. That's part of the gimmick of the show. I don't know if he's good or not. Maybe he's been, there's politics. He's allowed to stay in that position when he doesn't really deserve it. I don't remember the record. I know he switches schools at one point. Is it from the Gophers to a team in Miami or something like that? It's been a long time. Been a long time. Can't believe I remember that. But to me, that show is all about Dauber, Luther, and Christine. And Hayden's out. Tony D'Amato for me.
I'm voting for Hayden Fox, the Dwybreaker. It's up to you.
I mean, I was going to say exactly what Frank said. I didn't really have a great memory of the show, but I was like, did he ever actually coach on the show? So I mean, I kind of got to go with Tony D'Amato.
Oh, yes. Right. Yes. Everyone I wanted to win is winning.
All right.
John, we have to put a stop to this.
Yeah, we got to take out one of Frank's boys.
All right. And now we go into the top of the right bracket. Wild card. I love a good wild card. Top seed, Mickey Goldmill from Rocky, taking on the number 8 seed, Rocky Balboa from Creed.
Oh my God. Dude, tough. The wild card round is going to get crazy.
It is.
It is a powerhouse division. This is going to be trouble. Some of these are so iconic. I can't even pick my, I know my favorite's not going to win, and I can't even pick my favorite in this group. So this is going to be really tough. I have to admit, I did not know Mickey's last name. Not that it matters, but I have to say that.
I don't think they ever used the last name ever in either of the movies.
And in Creed, I have to, Rocky's a coach in Rocky 5.
Right.
Not that great. He's a coach in, he fights in Rocky Balboa. So he goes from coach to boxer, back to coach as a coach in Creed. Creed is an amazing movie. And
it is.
I cry, the stuff in the hospital. It's so good. This is tough. But
so is Rocky. The original Rocky is an amazing film.
You got to go with Mickey. Mickey is just an all-timer. He's in a Brisk commercial.
Sean?
Yeah, I mean, I do like Rocky Balboa as a coach. I like that turn but then at the same time, I think once he's not really in the Creed movies, I still really like the Creed movies without him.
Right, and his biggest coaching moment is as a dad in Rocky Balboa. It's it's about how hard you get hit, and all that stuff. So it's not, he's not actually coaching, although it is coach-like behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's got to be Mickey.
And in this case, you got to give it to the person who taught the other person.
Yep. Exactly.
All right. The number 4 seed, Chubbs Peterson from Happy Gilmore, taking on the number 5 seed, Apollo Creed from Rocky 3. What is fantastical about this bracket? This matchup.
It's same actor. The same actor?
Carl Weathers.
The late, great Carl himself. Weathers?
Yes.
I'm not a big Rocky guy, so I don't remember much about Rocky 3, but I love him in Happy Gilmore and Chubbs, all in the hips. He's amazing in that. So easy one for me. I'm going with Chubbs.
Sean?
Yeah, this is a tough call, but I actually really like that idea in Rocky 3 of him becoming the coach and helping Rocky after being his rival. I think there's some good emotional stuff there. I'm giving it the edge. Rocky 3, Apollo Creed.
You're going Creed over Chubbs?
Yep.
Well, I know.
Oh, now I get to be the Dwight breaker. And,
I already wrote it down, so you better pick what I'm thinking.
I'm picking Carl Weathers.
Okay.
As Apollo Creed.
What?
From Rocky 3.
This is nuts.
Number
Chubbs
5
is an all-timer. People talk about Chubbs everywhere. All in the Hips is going to stand the test of time. I can't think of one thing Creed did as a coach.
Talked about it.
No, tell me one thing Creed did as a coach in Rocky. I certainly didn't say anything. Sean might have, but he just said he liked
Rocky back from the depths.
He just said he likes the idea of him being. Tell me one thing Creed does.
Being in the corner, being in Rocky's corner during the fights. That is just powerful.
Mickey is dead, and Rocky has no one.
The missing hand, the alligator, everything. It's. You guys are going to have egg on your face for this one. Let me tell you, I'll scratch mine off and put Creed. Well, we just paved a path for Mickey to the final. Way to go.
Okay. The number 3 seed, we go to the movie Days of Thunder.
Oh God. When he's talking to that car, saying what he's going to do to it, make it the fastest car. I mean, the Hans Zimmer score is doing some heavy lifting, but that is movie magic. I don't even know who he's up against. Who cares?
Is it Harry? Is it Hoagie or Hoggy? I forget how they pronounce it in the movie.
I'm going to pretend that you didn't ask that question. Not because I don't know the answer, but I think it's Harry Hogg.
Harry Hogg. Okay.
I hope so. Although now I say Harry Hogg, it makes me think of something else.
Yes, it certainly does. Going up against the number six seed, Coach Irv Blitzer from Cool Runnings, played by the legendary John Candy.
I do love John Candy.
Jamaican bobsled team. Sean, what are you thinking?
I watched a good clip of John Candy when he goes to the Olympic Commission or whatever it is, when they've kind of denied them, and he pleads the case for his athletes and saying, don't hold your grudge against me, against them. And I mean, it's a pretty moving scene, but I do like Days of Thunder, and I really like Robert Duvall. I'm going Harry Hogg.
He's eating ice cream. I mean, John Candy's
ripping the Harry Hogg bandwagon.
As much as I love, especially when it came out, I remember dying to see, I love John Candy, and seeing Cool Runnings in theaters, and probably maybe even shedding one of my first tears in a movie, I think. Like, I was close. But even John Candy's most iconic Jamaican moment is drinking rum in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So as much as I respect Cool Runnings, it's not about John Candy in that movie. He's like an afterthought for me. So Harry Hogg all the way. And I hope I'm saying his last name right.
Well, Harry definitely moves on. I probably would have voted. I know I would have voted for Irv Blitzer. Okay, so we move down to the number two seed, Mr. Miyagi from The Karate Kid, taking on everyone's favorite soccer coach, Ted Lasso, in the seventh seed.
People are going to be pissed. Ted Lasso is a seven and Harry Hogg is a three. If you took any matchup in the first round, this is the last one, right?
Yes.
These I could see being very high seeds in their own right. This one is really tough. I mean, it's not tough for me. Like, Mr. Miyagi rules. As much as I like Ted Lasso, how can you not pick Mr. Miyagi? Although he is more of a mentor than a coach, as Greg said before.
He does teach Danny how to do the crane kick.
But is he his coach at the event?
Yeah.
He's there. He's the only person there.
And he coaches him. Okay, so I'll take that. I'm not the hugest. I really like The Karate Kid, but I've only seen it like twice. So I don't have like a airtight memory of that film. But I mean, Mr. Miyagi, he might win it all.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling like it's almost not fair that he's in the whole competition, to be honest with you. But
we can't control that. We just have to vote.
We can't. It would have been unfair to leave him out.
Yeah.
It would have been unfair to the legendary Pat Morita, who played Arnold, the original restaurant owner on Happy Days.
Happy Days was a two seed that went up against a seven seed, the Partridge Family. And we're also in a 2-7 matchup right now. Eerie. Eerie.
I keep shattering everything that you love by putting things together.
No, I mean, I like Ted Lasso, but he doesn't compare to some of these other names.
It's Mr. Miyagi for sure. All right. The number one seed, Mickey, going up the number five seed, Apollo.
Not even close, Mickey.
Sean?
Yep, Mickey.
Mickey across the board. Uh-oh. I think we might have a pretty tough final here.
Well, we still have to figure out Harry Hogg.
Oh, I know. Mr. Miyagi and the Harry Hogg.
Don't jump to any conclusions here.
I'm just curious what you guys are thinking here.
I mean, if anyone's going to make a case for Harry Hogg, it's going to be me.
Right.
And even I don't know how to say his last name. How could anyone compete with Mr. Miyagi? Wax on, wax off. He's got it all. Like, forget about it. Mr. Miyagi. It's like the finals between the Mickey and Mr. Miyagi. Holy crap.
Sean, I'm assuming you were voting for Mr. Miyagi as well.
Yeah.
All right. This is probably the toughest first round matchup, or not really first round matchup, but corner bracket final that we've had. Mickey versus Mr. Miyagi. Potentially the two greatest coaches, mentors in the history of sports, film, and television.
It's true. This is insane that this is just in one bracket. We haven't even got to the final yet.
Well,
the winner of this win it all?
They both belonged in the wild card bracket.
Lou Brown might have something to say about that, but I didn't know Mickey's last name. I don't know Mr. Miyagi's first name. Does anyone know?
Oh, no. I don't know.
It's probably something like Larry.
I'm going to have to look it up while we're talking, but as tough as this is, I know people love Rocky.
Yeah.
I like Mr. Miyagi. I am voting for Mr. Miyagi.
Sean?
Yeah, it's Mr. Miyagi. Like, I mean, Mickey is amazing too, but he's also not as fleshed out a character as Mr. Miyagi is. And I got to go with Mr. Miyagi.
Nariyoshi Miyagi.
Nice.
We're down to the final four.
I got
to
know who Greg would have picked.
Miyagi.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love the movie Rocky and I love Mickey, but I think Mr. Miyagi, like he teaches and coaches and mentors Danny in so many different ways. And he's just such a key part of that movie.
It's interesting. They both have like legacy stuff where Mickey shows up in flashbacks in future series in Cobra Kai. It's always kind of calling back to like the legacy these two people leave. That really, they went head to head. It was tough.
Strange how you emphasized the word leg when you said that.
I said
legacy. Oh. Yeah, legacy.
I'm sorry. I had no idea.
That was weird.
I thought you were going to ask, why didn't we consider the Jackie Chan Mr. Miyagi?
Well, I was just going to point that out. I mentioned Pat Morita before. Obviously, that's who I was talking about, and not the Jackie Chan version of that role. All right. Final four. On the left side, we've got a number one seed taking on a number two seed. On the right side, a number two seed taking on a number five seed. Crazy.
We didn't even say that Rocky and Karate Kid, both directed by the same person. The same person directed both of these original roles. Is it, I'll pronounce his last name, John Alvidson?
John G. Alvidson.
I'm not even looking it up. That was from memory. I wasn't.
Okay. Okay. Let's start on the left side. The number one seed of the baseball-ish bracket, Coach Lou Brown from Major League, taking on the number two seed from the Balls and Blades bracket, Coach Norman Dale. This is a tough one. Frank has put on his Wild Thing shades, and I think that seems to indicate that Coach Lou Brown would be his vote.
Yeah, it's closer than you might think in terms of the measurement scene being that big of a deal, but it's going to be Lou Brown.
Obviously, I'm going to vote for Coach Norman Dale. Tiebreaker.
Yeah, it's tough. But I do have personal connection, personal history with Lou Brown.
Frank is giving you a death glare.
Don't have that with Norman Dale, even though I just watched the movie and I liked him in it. It's going to be Lou Brown.
Lou Brown.
Sean should have picked Norman Dale, but I'm glad Lou Brown won.
On the other side, we've got Mr. Miyagi. taking on Coach Tony D'Amato from Any Given Sunday. I am going to vote for Mr. Miyagi. Sean?
I will vote for Mr. Miyagi.
So, Frank, doesn't who would you matter. Have voted for?
D'Amato-san.
Oh,
I know. I'll just give it in a nod because I really like Tony D'Amato. But if I'm being honest, it's got to be Miyagi. Let's get real here.
Okay, Ball Jug Madness in the month of March. Greatest sports coaches in film and television history. It comes down to Coach Lou Brown from Major League. Versus Mr. Miyagi from The Karate Kid. Woo! What a journey we've been on. And we're down to the final matchup. Let's start with Sean. Sean, who are you voting for?
I mean, you guys should go. I only chime in if
he's the Dwybreaker.
Okay. All right. Frank, give us your vote.
This is really tough.
Yeah.
I love Lou Brown, but Miyagi is clearly the more iconic coach mentor. Like, he's almost synonymous with, if you say, oh, who's your Mr. Miyagi? It refers to your coach. It's like, just, it's part of pop culture. And I feel like I want to say Lou Brown, because I feel like Greg's going to say Miyagi and then Sean's going to say Miyagi. And I want someone to vote for Lou Brown, but then I'm worried if I don't, then Lou Brown might win. Is that the worst thing in the world? I don't know. Maybe Lou Brown should win. Maybe that's what makes this special. These are the thoughts that I'm going through right now, but
you are being way too neurotic for this silly podcast.
Well, I could have gone further potentially in my thought process, but sometimes you just have to do what's right.
Yeah.
I think Mr. Miyagi taught me that, and I'm going to go with Mr. Miyagi.
I will also go with Mr. Miyagi. Sean, who would you have voted for?
It would be Mr. Miyagi.
He taught Mr.
Should have voted for Lou Brown.
God damn it. Miyagi. Lou Brown made the final. That's pretty impressive, Frank.
Yeah, I know, but
heard it here.
He got first. Swept in the final.
That's all right. The greatest coach.
Mentor. The greatest mentor of all time. I will
coach, be an asterisk.
Mentor. Teacher. In the history
human
of sports, film, and television, according to three morons on the Ball Junk podcast, it is Mr. Miyagi. Congratulations, Pat Morita and Jackie Chan.
Actually, that should have been my reason for voting for Lou Brown. That there's two Mr. Miyagis.
Was Lou Brown the coach in all of the major league films?
He's in one and two. Three, they're in the minors. I think it's like, is it Ted McGinley or someone like that?
Ooh.
I don't know. I've only seen that once in theaters, have not gone back.
Ted McGinley, after Ron Howard left Happy Days, joined that cast.
Everything comes back to Happy Days. I was confusing TV shows. It's Scott Bakula. Or maybe not. No, he's not the coach. Is he the coach? No, it is Ted McGinley. I got it right. I can't even get this straight. I'm going to edit all of this out. It's Ted McGinley, like I said originally.
Don't edit this out. We got a reference to Scott Bakula from Necessary Roughness. I don't remember his coach.
Me neither.
He did not make it into the top 32.
I got to look that up. Who's the coach in this?
While we're doing that, Sean, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Hey, it was my pleasure.
The Dwybreaker comes in and settles differences. That's what you do.
That is what I do.
Yes.
Now that's embarrassing. The coach is Robert Loggia. I forget Robert Loggia. Oh my goodness. TSU.
I don't know what that means.
That's the school in Necessary Roughness.
Oh, I see. We just did the Film Junk podcast, so the latest one is the review of Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So that's the latest one. You've got a premium podcast that just came out, right?
That's right, Denis Villeneuve.
You can check that out. Frank, the latest Game Junk, that's out recently, right?
Yes, on YouTube. YouTube.com/GameJunk. But right now, all I'm thinking about is Robin Loggia. Let's get
Thanks
a little
for
plug
out
for
this
him.
Podcast. If you've got ideas for other brackets we can do on this show, balljunkpodcast@gmail.com, or send us a message on X. I think those are the proper terms. Balljunkpodcast there as well. Thanks for listening to the show. We'll see you episode 61.